Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
We have to go back in time.
Oh, I love this. I love this bit. I love looking back and just seeing what was going on in various years. And you forget. You do forget. We're going back to 2003 in this week's Back in Time. And what happens is every week we take a random year, so it's 2003 this week, and we remind ourselves of the big showbiz, sport and news stories that emerged during those 12 months. We have a very special prize to give away, so if you listen carefully to what we're going to talk about, there's a question at the end and you could win yourself something very, very cool. I'm joined again by Mr. Cormac Battle. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going? Yeah, you said it there a second ago, because like I look back into these things and you realise huge events can take place that you've completely erased from your memory. They're just gone because you don't have the room in your head for them. And this is, it surprises me even when I'm, you know, doing the research for this. So like, we normally do some news stories. Like the big story of the year in Ireland was certainly the Special Olympics. The Special Olympics happened in 2003 and it was the biggest event to happen in the world that year. It is the, and that's how big it was, because it normally happened in America. I think it happened for like 50 years in America up to that point, and it came to Ireland. 7,000 Special Olympics athletes, accompanied by 2,000 coaches and tens of thousands of family members and friends. It was very exciting. If you do, you remember this part about it? This is kind of the big thing. 160 cities and towns and villages participated in the host town program. So like people from all the countries around the world were sent to like Gort, they were sent to, you know, Turnmenfechan, Galway. So the whole country, it was spread out across the whole country, which is brilliant, because it just, it brought so much colour to Ireland at the time in that year.
I'd completely forgotten about it.
I'd have to be honest.
It was only 2003.
I know, so did I. And it was absolutely a massive event. Mm. The biggest event in the whole world of that year. Special Olympics made a statement. I think this really captures it really nicely. It said, staging the 2003 Special Olympics World Games opened our eyes to many things. We saw people with intellectual disability in a new light, as individuals who could achieve far more than we ever thought possible. Mm. We came to see people with an intellectual disability for what they could achieve rather than what they could not achieve. And that was the central message of the whole thing. And it was just one big, massive party. Here's a nice clip. Actually, Roy Keane is beside this girl called Katrina Ryan. She's a Special Olympian swimmer. He's holding up her hand. You can't hear him. But this is her it's called the Olympic Oath that they gave at the opening ceremony in Croke Park. It's incredible stuff. Have a listen to this.
Let me win!
Let me win!
But if I cannot win!
But if I cannot win!
Let me be brave in the attempt!
Let me be brave in the attempt! Give it up for our athletes!
Oh, yes. Katrina Ryan, just
amazing,
gorgeous
stuff. Absolutely amazing stuff. You go back and have a look at it when you get a chance. It was an extraordinary event.
So the Special Olympics were on. What else was happening?
Well, over to America. This is the second time this had happened. A very tragic situation where the space shuttle Columbia broke apart in February of 2003 while re-entering the Earth's atmosphere, killing all of its 7 crew members. Obviously, these things, when the shuttle is coming back, these are live TV events, so people get to see these things happening, unfold in front of their eyes live. So what happened in this situation was, 80 seconds into the launch, when it launched 2 weeks earlier, when it went up, it went into space fine, but a piece of foam came off and broke off the shuttle's propellant tank, exposing some of the wings. So like, it was fine out in space for 2 weeks, but when they re-enter, the shuttle came to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere, the heat got too much, and where these tiles had come off when it launched 2 weeks earlier, it got worse and worse and worse, and so basically it exploded on
disaster.
Re-entry. Which some people say in an investigation that this could have been fixed by crew members When they were up in space, they could have fixed the problem, possibly if NASA had sanctioned that, or they could have been rescued from the shuttle, which, you know, imagine you're up there in the shuttle, you know it's been damaged, and you know that we're going to have to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere, and that's going to be a heavy toll on the shuttle. And it was that heavy that it just went. This is a very kind of spooky moment where Houston loses contact with the space shuttle, and it's very eerie. Have a quick listen.
Columbia, Houston, UHF comm check. Columbia, Houston, UHF comm check.
At 9:16, the truth dawned on Mission Control. 38 miles above ground, the space shuttle had exploded.
Yeah, that went on for a long time, them trying to make communication.
Imagine their family and friends watching that and listening to that.
Just horrendous. And you can see, obviously, in the control room, they're trying to make contact with Columbia. And they did that for a long time. I edited it there to make it shorter, but that was it. They never heard from them again. So
very, very sad. Yeah. Let's come back to Ireland for a second, because I mentioned this when I was telling people you were going to do this. And it was a huge event in Dublin.
Yeah.
It was kind of baffling. And the significance of it is it's big. It's a big thing that happened in Ireland. And this is what was going on in the country. The spire went up, right?
Yeah, the spire went up on the 21st of January. It was completed on the 21st of January 2003. A small backstory.
Should have been finished probably before Christmas, but couldn't get the labour done.
I think it was meant to be done a lot earlier for the millennium, actually. So they wanted to, you know, make it. It was put in the place of Nelson's Pillar, which had been blown up in 1966 by former members of the IRA. They wanted to put something there, and what had been there up to that point, the Anna Livia monument, which was known as the Floozy in the Jacuzzi. Do you remember that?
I loved her.
The one in the middle. Yeah, I think that's in a warehouse somewhere else now. So a competition went out to design something, and it was a company in Dungarvan, actually. It was made down in Waterford, would you believe, for £4 million, and it's 390 feet high. Of course, there was loads of complaints about the spire, you know, about it not having a Christian message, and it would be a danger to low-flying aircraft. But the nicknames was the best thing about it. Some of the nicknames that came out, if anyone knows any other ones, let us know, was the nail in the pail, the stiletto in the ghetto, the pin in the bin, the stiffy by the liffy.
Stiffy by the liffy.
I knew you'd like that one. And the spire in the mire, and they went on and on and on.
Yeah.
But this is such a typical clip of typical Dubliners talking about what they think of this spire thing going up on their street in O'Connell, in the main thoroughfare in Ireland. I just love this.
I think it's a waste of money, and I think it's too high, and that we should have a statue like James Lark and of Michael Collins.
As far as I know, they're building the thing for the pigeons. They're going to be able to go to the toilet at the top of it instead of, you know, on the ground.
I think they should have left it the way it was. What good is that spike to anyone?
It's too high.
What good is that spike to anyone?
What good? They're building a place where the pigeons can go to their toilet. Their toilet, exactly, top of the spire.
That's it.
They never even got round to that.
Still there, though. They ran out of budget. I think it's pretty good.
It's very shiny.
It's good.
It looks good, you know.
And you see tourists impressed by it. They are impressed by it. But look, we're very resistant as people.
But then they walk down Talbot Street and they go, ooh. Look, 4 million.
4 million doesn't sound like a lot now, does it?
Not really.
It doesn't.
Not really, no. What do you think of the spire? Do you look at it and go, oh, that's the best 4 million we ever spent in this country? Or would you rather the floozy and the jacuzzi be, you know, give her a bit of a shine, give her a bit of a clean, throw her back in there?
I think the floozy should come back somewhere. I don't know where she is at the moment. Apparently she's
Where's the tart with the cart?
The tart with the cart, as in Molly Malone?
Yeah.
I don't know. Has that been relocated to somewhere? Does anyone know where the Molly Malone statue is? It was at the bottom of Grafton Street. It's gone now. Ample
she's
bust,
on Suffolk
et
Street. She's down there.
Oh,
yeah.
She's on Suffolk Street. Is she?
Yeah. And you see tourists getting up to take a picture, and they're always rubbing her boobies. God love her.
I don't blame them.
She has a case there for sure.
She doesn't know anyway.
But no. But can I just hear that vox again? Because it's so good.
I think it's a waste of money, and I think it's too high, and that we should have a statue like James Lark and of Michael Collins.
As far as I know, they're building the thing for the pigeons. They're going to be able to go to the toilet at the top of it instead of, you know, on the ground.
I think they should have left it the way it was. What good is that spike to anyone?
Not good that spike, anyone.
I know.
I kind of agree with the first lad saying there should be a Jim Larkin or Michael Collins. Do we have them anywhere around the country?
There's a big one.
I mean, there's a Sonia O'Sullivan in Cork, for God's sake. Why can't we have a Michael Collins?
Isn't there one with Jim Larkin, the one with the big hands?
There is Jim Larkin, yeah. That's further down.
It's somewhere.
It's the north side of Dublin. Anyway, if there wasn't a... Jim Larkin is on O'Connell Street. Yeah. If there wasn't a spire there, what would you put there? I mean, they're probably racking their brains.
A spire?
If there wasn't the spire there.
The spire, yeah. I don't know. What would you put there? I'd put the floozy back.
I'd put the floozy back. Yeah. She was deadly.
Yeah, she was. Water lovely. Feature. Nice water feature.
Love a water feature.
Absolutely.
So does Audrey Spelling.
Yeah, exactly. In the front garden.
Let's talk about showbiz.
Again, another story that I completely forgotten about. Although it was not fictionalised. It was dramatised on Netflix or someone did it recently. It was the notorious case in Charles Ingram and his wife Diana were given 18-month prison sentences after cheating on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire when they won the top prize of £1 million. So he's an ex-army major. He lost his job after, obviously.
Is this the coffin saga?
Yeah, exactly. He was found guilty of swindling the show with the help of his wife, Diana, and the coffin accomplice. Get the coffin accomplice's name. We love this. His name was Tequin Whittock.
Tequin.
Have a listen. Don't press it yet. Don't press it yet. Charles insisted that he didn't notice any coughing. There was 192 coughs recorded during the night recording the show. And... just to show you how blatant it was, this is the £1 million question Chris Tarrant is asking Charles Ingram. And you can hear a bit of coughing going on. This is fab.
I don't think I've heard of a Google. Yeah, I think it's a Google.
Final answer.
You just won £1 million!
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so blatant.
I know. When you look back at it, you kind of go, oh my God, the coughing is just outrageous. And he was coughing 192 times. The court ruled that he had answered the questions with help from his fellow contestant, Tequin Whittock, who coughed to alert him to the right answers. And Ingram's wife was also implicated as well. They didn't do time. But no. What did they do? Charles ended up on The Weakest Link with his wife. He also completed the game alongside former Liberty X singer Kevin Sim. And he starred in Channel 4's Wife Swap, where he swapped his wife with Jade Goody. Do you remember? Poor old Jade.
Oh my God.
She's gone. And yeah. So he was in Wife Swap as well.
But that's what you do. Being on the telly.
But that's what you do, isn't it? You find these people who are notorious and then put them into reality shows. Wife Swap.
For the crack.
No, I can't. No. Honestly, I could say yes for drama, but no, I couldn't do that. Jeez, would you?
I don't know.
You
depends
would.
Who it was.
Would you?
But that'd be a really good TV show.
Celebrity wife swap. It would be a good TV show. I'd say you get no one to agree to do it, though.
Yeah, who would I swap with, though? Who
has a hot husband?
51552.
Yeah. There's lots of people with hot husbands.
There is. Maybe Catherine Thomas's husband.
I haven't seen
him. He's kind of hot.
I haven't seen him.
Yeah. Glenda Gilson's husband. He's hot. I'll stop now. Let's move on.
go on for a while.
Stop me. Please stop me. The Big Tune, 2003?
The Big Tune... Well,
let's go to the... Oh, you want to go to sporting event first?
I need to go to the sporting event because this is very in the news at the moment. Like, it was only a young 18-year-old from Portugal joined Manchester United. Aww. Who am I talking about?
Ronaldo,
exactly. Yeah. In 2003, he joined Man United. He couldn't speak any English at the time. And, you know, he did become... God, nearly God anyway, at least. He was named, by 2009, he was named FIFA World Player of the Year. And he left then in 2009 to join Real Madrid for £80 million, which was an awful lot what he got. He scored, he was the most successful international goal scorer in history. He's the most followed human being on Instagram with 500 million followers. And he is said to be worth $500 million as well. But there's two bits to this. This is his first ever attempt at an English interview when he joined Man United.
Let's have a listen.
Cristiano, how did you enjoy tonight?
Yeah, it's a good game. It's a good performance. Team win, it's important.
Are you feeling more and more confident with each game?
I don't understand.
I don't understand. So he left. He went to Real Madrid, and then he went to loads of other clubs as well. And famously, he joined Man United again last year, which was a very surprise move to everybody in the football world. And it hasn't. It has been a very, very, very bumpy road. And where his love affair with Man United has completely gone. And tonight, actually, he's going to be appearing in a programme with Piers Morgan, talking about how he feels that Man United have been let him down so badly. You know, he's been criticised. He's left, apparently he's left games to go and attend to family issues and all that kind of stuff. But now the tables have completely turned for him. And this is a clip from that programme with Piers Morgan about him, how he feels so betrayed.
Yeah? I felt betrayed.
And you think they're trying to get rid of you?
Honestly, I shouldn't say that, I don't know, but people should listen to the truth. Yes, I feel betrayed, and I felt that some people that don't want me here, not only this year, but last year too. I don't know what's going on, but since Sir Alex Ferguson left, I saw no evolution in the club. The progress was zero.
The difference between that and the first interview, exactly, that was Ronaldo. Yeah. Cormac, exactly. We need to go to the tunes, okay?
Tunes, yeah.
I want to know what the tunes are. So what was the big tune of 2003?
Well, the big tune worldwide is coming in 2 seconds, but I have to mention this. After years in the doldrums of Eurovision, in 2003, they decided to change everything and to turn it into a talent show called You're a Star.
Yeah.
So they decided they'd get someone through a talent show, voting judges, just a bit like X Factor. And eventually, Mickey Joe Hart, as he was called then, I don't think he likes to be called that anymore, but that's what he was called then, won the talent show with this.
We've got the world tonight. Woo! Let's hold on together. And we've got a love that's right.
Not a bad song, Cormac.
I think that still gets rolled out at weddings and stuff like that. I'm not sure if he plays it himself anymore.
What do you think, Graham?
Does anyone play it? Does anyone play
it? You into that, Graham?
Mickey Joe Hart. Yeah, we got the world. He's not
sticking up his fingers at me.
I don't know, but like, does that get played at weddings or anything anymore?
Yeah, yeah. Belter.
But look, that was you know, in fairness, it came 11th, by the way, so it didn't win, obviously. But I thought it was a decent one nonetheless. But the song that was the biggest in the world in 2003 was, of course, not of course, because you don't know, it was this.
The love, y'all, y'all. Killing, dying, sounds like the RTE news. People hurting people. Misery, misery. And they made a song out of it. And it was a global hit.
Yeah.
Did really well.
Oh, it did. It did very
well
indeed.
Apparently, the Black Eyed Peas are to play in Qatar.
No way.
Yeah.
That's news you're bringing to me.
They're taking the money, Cormac.
Really? Oh, my God.
And Robbie Williams. So they're on the list.
So that's it. Yeah, that was the big song of the year.
Okay, that was great. That is the big song of the year. Cormac, we're going to play that tune in full.
In a minute.
But if you guys at home fancy, or at work, wherever you are, if you fancy a box of retro sweets, because this is all very retro, it has loads of classics like Refreshers, Wham Bars, remember them, and Dib Dabs. We have a question, and if you get it right, we'll pick one right answer and you will get the prize. What is the question, Cormac Battle?
So it's not the easiest question in the world, but we were talking about Ronaldo there and his troubles at Manchester United. And I mentioned that he has the most followers on what social media platform? What social media platform? He's nearly 500 million followers. What is the name of that social media platform? Answers to 51552.
And you get a big box of sweets from planetcandy.ie. They're amazing. They're our new friends. If you know the answer, 51552. Okay, we need to pick a year for next week. Let's go to the year picker sound effect.
Oh yeah, go on.
I need to shorten that.
I put a bit of effort into this. Come on.
Okay, Cormac, what year are we going to go to next week?
We are going back further in time to the depths of 1997.
Oh,
the year that stuff happened. Was it?
Oh
my God, wow, okay.
I did very young, you see.
Yes.
Very
you
young.
Did, you did.
I'm 17, yeah. I did me leaving, sir. Didn't
I was
do
16.
Great.
16 doing me leaving. Yeah.
Well, you were 16 doing me leaving?
Yeah.
Is that where it all went wrong for us?
It started to go wrong there, yeah.
So 1997. That's a good one. I can't wait for that. Cormac, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.